11, as you just heard, depicted John Winthrop. And in his words, John Winthrop was the one, not Ronald Reagan, but John Winthrop was the one who said that this America that our pilgrims are heading off to would be like a city set on a hill, a shining light. Paraphrasing from the words of Jesus himself. Quite remarkable. And so how does that affect us? As we look today at this message on our New Year's Day. And I've kind of played with the title a little bit. It's called Pilgrims 2023. Looks like a Bible verse, right? Pilgrims 2023. And it's taken out of Hebrews chapter 11. Together, we'll read it, and I'll do the verse 13. If you'll pick it up in the even number verses, nice and loud. Hebrews chapter 11. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, for us, it would have been England, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Listen, before we leave off on this, that last verse that you read, that's the key. They desired a better country. Friends, listen up. With what we're going to be hearing today and from this moment out into this year is the fact that we as Christians, we desire a better country. Listen, do we want to see America renewed and turned back to God? Of course we do. But listen, above the capstone of all of that stuff, what trumps our involvement on things, in our passion on things, and our being concerned citizens and good ones at that, and voters and people who hold elected officials accountable, that is given to the hearts and to the hands of those of the republic. That's us. Okay? That's the mandate God has given us, to be custodians, every Christian, to maintain and to do what's best for whatever country a Christian is at this time. I want you to look at verse 16 right here where it says that they seek after a better, they desire a better country. We're talking about heaven. The author of the book of Hebrews is talking about heaven. Even our founding fathers, the Pilgrim Fathers, they knew that they were coming to another geographical place on earth, but what drove them there was the fact that they ultimately sought a country that is above. And not only is that true, but the Bible says that is a heavenly one, obviously. Where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. It's not New York. It's not Los Angeles, it's not Paris, it's not even Jerusalem. It's God's city from above. So as we walk this new year together in Christ as believers, just be aware of the fact that you and I are pilgrims in 2023. Like never before. And I find that incredibly thrilling. Father, we pray for the movement of your Holy Spirit to be upon this first Sunday of this year that's never happened before. And Lord, 364 days from now, if you grant us the time, we will be starting a new year, leaving this year behind. So Father, we pray that our very hearts and souls and spirits of who we are would catch fire, that we might glow for Jesus. We ask you, Father God, to be very present, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated, church. Pilgrims 2023. That video is, to me, stirring. I had to show that to you because it moves my heart, because it's not about so much the colonies, It's not so much to me about Plymouth. It's about the future. It's about this year. It's about every day that you and I get up to live for Jesus. The Bible says to us in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that for whatever things were written before, that's called history, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I want you to have hope this year. I want you to take courage in this year that's before us, not because it's a new year, but because, number one, we're closer to meeting the Lord. Every single one of us. Here's what's fun. Listen, believers, we're certainly 1 year closer to meeting the Lord. Ooh, we get excited about that. Hey, listen, atheist, you're certainly 1 year closer to meeting the Lord. Don't think you should meet him on the grounds that you're currently standing on, but I want to encourage you to be a believer, a faithful follower of Jesus this year. Just understand something, that this time that's before us, God has given us opportunities. You got to remember that. Every single thing starting today, I want you to hallmark them as an opportunity, no matter what it is. If you were to mark yourself today, either in your note-taking or get a little tattoo that might remind you on your right hand or your left hand, I almost said your right hand or your forehead. No, don't. Let's not go there. But whereby you would remind yourself, everything that happens to me as a believer this year is an opportunity provided to me by God, no matter how beautiful it might appear or how gruesome it might appear. Opportunity. Bad news coming to us is an opportunity to us to figure out, how do we take what's bad and shine a light on it and turn it around so that something never happens again, or that it can be used as an example, or that Christ can be preached. I pray that God would galvanize us into this new year as pilgrims like never before. And this is certainly true, I believe, in God's heart for us. And look forward to this. A couple of verses before we go into our blitz. I'm calling this a blitz. You're going to get blitzed today. I had another term for it. Just know when I use the word blitz, I'm using the word, you know how a shotgun works? You know, I don't know about, look, we're Americans. Maybe it's the people I hang out with, but everybody I know owns guns. And I know, and listen, there's single women that Lisa and I know, they own guns. We're Americans. It's rare for me to meet somebody who doesn't own a gun. And so, because of that, you think of the difference between a handgun and a shotgun. Okay. You know, a handgun's fun for shooting around and target practice and all that stuff. And that's great. But you know what? When it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're sleepy and somebody just broke into your house to kill you, you can use a handgun if you want. That's fine. That's fantastic. Or if you're sleepy and you're in the middle of a yawn, you can use a shotgun. Why? See, Pastor, I can't believe I'm hearing this on the first Sunday of the year. A shotgun, you don't have to aim. You can go, oh my goodness, get out of my house, and somebody's there to hurt you, you can just close your eyes and squeeze. Why? Because so much comes out that you're blitzed with, in this case, information. And with verses and with challenges. I'm going to blitz you so that I don't have to take a close aim at anyone particularly. This is for all of us with what you're about to hear. So this is a non-spectator message today. You're going to be involved, but before you hear it, know this. Mark this one down. Get ready. Mark it down. Mark it down, or whatever you do to remember this. Psalm 65:11. Psalm 65:11 ought to lead you for the rest of the year starting today. In fact, I think I made a Facebook live post this morning at a gas station announcing to the world, Psalm 65:11. Here it is. You, that is God, you crown the year with your goodness and your paths drip with abundance. That's God's greeting to you on this New Year's Day. How about this one? You guys are so tired of this one. You're so tired of it. You know this one by heart. Jeremiah 29:11. So, man, I heard that so many times. Yeah, here's the thing, though. Let's believe it. Yeah. In 2023, Pilgrim, let's believe it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." How's that for a New Year's resolution? Resolved. I'm going to believe this. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Man, I tell you what, God bless you. Have a great Sunday. See you later. Take care. That's all we need right there. If we just obeyed that, game over. It doesn't matter what this world throws at us this year. That portion of scripture trumps everything the world can throw at us. And this is from last Wednesday night, if you were here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3. "Every place where the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses." Now, this is very personal to me. I use this often. This is something I go to on a regular basis to keep me on the straight and narrow and encouraged. Verse 5, "No man should be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you." This is God speaking to Joshua. "Joshua, I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you." So listen, if you disagree with what I'm about to say, do not tell me. You're going to waste your time and I'm not going to believe it. If God told Moses, "I'm going to be with you and I'm going to be your courage and your strength," and then God turns around and tells Joshua, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to encourage you and be your strength," then what is the Bible telling Jack? Then if the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons, then what he said to Moses, he says to Joshua, he says it to Jack. And if he says it to Jack, he says it to you. This is the God of the Bible. He doesn't have favorites. The promises he gives are available to all those who will grab them. That's what made our founding pilgrims so radical in all of the history of the world. Did you know that? They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. They couldn't find their place in the Church of England because the Church of England had become a hierarchy. They just wanted to read their Bibles. Then that became forbidden. All they wanted to do was worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and that became illegal. And so they set sail. And I'm saying to you today, on this first year of the day, a message of commission that we're setting sail today. If you're going to follow Christ Jesus into this new year, you are a pilgrim. This world is not your home. You need to remember that. Joshua goes on to say in verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage." Verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Look at verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." In other words, stay in the Bible in 2023, Pilgrim. "But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Verse 9, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Such a constant in Joshua chapter 1. So church, are you ready for the blitz? The blitz? Here we go. Number one, write it down if you would. Pilgrim 2023, be aware. Pilgrim is the challenge to be aware for all of us. Be aware. That's what's upon us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Here it is. "Preach the word." You see, isn't that what you're supposed to do, Pastor? I'm supposed to do it, but so are you. This word written to Timothy is for all believers. Are you a believer? Raise your hand. You're a follower of Christ. Raise your hand. Okay, we got you on camera. You're busted. Now you got to do this. You got to be aware, Pilgrim. Be aware of your surroundings. Be aware of the spirit, the atmosphere of the world in which you and I live in. If we are aware as pilgrims, we will never be taken off course. We will never succumb to the pressures of the demonic Antichrist spirit that is descending upon this globe and upon our nation constantly. The pressure for you to conform, that's of a demonic source. Did you hear me? The beatings that you are taking psychologically, the Bible warns us, is from a demonic pressure. Right now, the world is trying to squeeze people into its submissive role. But you're to follow Christ. And the more that you and I are aware, we're going to do everything possible this year to make sure that you're aware, as a pilgrim, how to live your life. And the Bible tells us, preach the word, tell people, proclaim it. He says right there to be ready in season and out of season. This is great because be ready no matter what mood you're in. Up or down, look, we're humans. We have ups and we have downs, do we not? God's word is firm and sure. Hallelujah. We don't have to worry about it moving. We just have to make sure that we move back to it. Always. Convince, rebuke, exhort. What does that mean? It means be salty. You ever get salt in your eye? The Christians to be like that. You know, I don't understand this. If you get salt in your eye, it hurts. It hurts. But I don't know about you, but when I go out into the Pacific Ocean, I swim with my eyes open underwater. And it feels awesome. It's wonderful. What is the, what's with that? I think it's the application. You get salt in your eye and it burns when you look around because maybe God is saying, so to speak, that we need to be salty to a world that claims to see, but it does not see. When I open my eyes underwater, I'm in a whole different environment. And why does the salt water feel so perfect on my eyes? It's a whole other story. Jesus called us to be salt and light in this world. We are to convince, we're to rebuke, we're to exhort. With all longsuffering and teaching, for the time will come, it should say in verse 3, for the time arrived somewhere in the 21st century, and you guys in 2023 are living in it, when people will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, there's many things we learned over the last 3 years, but a lot of it is people do not care about doctrine. But instead, according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Is that happening, church? All across the world right now. Why? Listen, be aware. Some people, I just asked you that question, and there was a resounding yes. You'd be surprised how many churches, if I would have asked that, would have sat silent, not knowing what in the world I'm talking about. Be aware. Number two, be knowing. Pilgrim, be knowing. Be knowing in 2023. Be knowing. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. 2 Peter 3:17 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous, beautiful exhortation that is. Look how sweet that is. Grow in the grace and knowledge. This is God's will for you. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's God's will. That you know more about Jesus, that you grow in grace and you grow in the knowledge of him. The more you know of him, the better off you'll be. Knowing. I want to just issue this and move on to point number three. Be careful what you come to know this year. You know what I'm saying? Like there's some things we should like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have known that. There's some things that you cannot avoid. But there's things that you have a choice And you listen, and you now you become knowledgeable of it. I want you to be thinking and be aware of the fact that what you need to know, God will encourage you about. There's going to be things that you don't need to know, and you're going to sense the Holy Spirit saying, you don't need to look in that direction. You don't need to go to that place. You don't need to be in that arena or whatever it might be. Are you hearing me? Yes. I guess what I'm saying is we need to be really, really discerning is a word. I was going to use the word sensitive, but that's a negative connotation. Discerning is a great word. A lot of people may not know what that means. How about this? How about this? That you have a pulse. Yes. You're feeling what's alive and what's dead. And what's dead, get away from it. And what kills, get away from it. I was talking to a young person a week or so ago, and they said something to their parent. A word came out. Bloop! And the mother was shocked. Where did you learn that? And you know the pathology of this. Well, I heard it from somebody in school. That's inevitable. That's going to happen. But when you hear that, walk away. Right? Is there that guy or that gal at work who says, hey, you want to hear a joke? And every joke they tell is a dirty joke. Walk away. Amen. Yeah, but Pastor, it's my boss. Walk away. God's your boss anyway, right? Number three, be expectant. Be expectant. Like pregnant. Expectant, like pregnant with the reality of God in your life and this year like never before. Be a pilgrim in 2023 this way. 1 John 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now we are children of God. That word implies we've been converted. We're born again. We are now in the family of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. That's an awesome statement. It answers the question that you have. What am I going to look like in heaven? We don't know. But look, it's heaven, so you're not going to be ugly. That's a big plus. It's heaven. It wouldn't be heaven if we're all walking around going, whoa. Somehow it's all going to be good. Okay, so watch this. But we know that when he is revealed, that's when he comes to pick us up, by rapture or by rupture. If you're dead and you meet Christ in the resurrection, or in the rapture if he comes today. When he's revealed, we know this, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What does that mean? It means that you and I live in an expectant life, that we're ready to meet Jesus. We're pregnant with hope. Picture that in your mind. Just wherever you go, you're carrying hope with you, pregnant with hope, because you're expectant that whenever Christ comes, this life of mine, this body of mine is going to be changed into one just like him, just like the one he has. Number four, urgent. Urgency. Pilgrims 2023, listen, we are to be an urgent people. This is a time for us on this day to throw off the weights, to throw off the things that have held us back. Listen, you just went through the mental, emotional transition of a year being placed into history and a brand new year yet unwritten before us. And you've thought thoughts like this perhaps. I wish I would have done more of that or less of this. You just went through that thought process. By the way, you guys, did you? I caught only just a moment of it, but this morning, just getting ready and stuff, having the news on, the channels are talking about, oh, wasn't it a great New Year's Eve celebration? Oh, did you see the ball drop? And all of this stuff. And they're all talking about how great it was, but they said nothing. Right. Yeah. Oh, wasn't it great? Oh, man, you... Wait. I wanted to say, excuse me. Wait. What was great? What was great? Think about it. There was nothing great about it. The calendar changed. The sun, the moon, the universe, the solar system went through a path that's marked by time according to scripture. Tell me what was great. Oh, we got wasted, man. That's what they're saying. Wasn't it great? Have you noticed how the world talks up stuff when it's so not great? They talk about how great it was. Oh man, we had a great time. Really? What did you do? Oh, you know. No, you know what's amazing? So much of the world's waking up today with headaches after vomiting halfway through the night. And that's how you start the new year. Thank God you're here. Right? I thank God for you. Look around right now. There's people going, oh, don't clap. No, I'm joking. I couldn't resist saying that. urgency, urgent, be urgent, pilgrim. 2 Timothy 4, verse 5 says, but you be watchful in all things. Wow. Endure afflictions. Listen, a rough life, difficult things coming. God says, endure it. I'm with you. You're going to make it. I haven't left you. I love you. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Wow. That, listen, none of us are Billy Graham. Or whatever. We're not supposed to be. But we're supposed to do the work of an evangelist. What does an evangelist do? An evangelist tells people the evangel. A person tells people the good news, the evangel, evangelistic. Evangelism is to tell people good news, the good news. Hey, and you give them the gospel. God died on the cross, and Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. He paid the price of sin's debt at the cross. He justified us by being resurrected from the dead. That's good news. Listen, friend, Jesus said if you were to die today, you would wake up in his presence in an instant and share the good news. You can be forgiven of your sins. You can have all guilt removed and start life all over again. People need to hear this. And we've got it. Number five, be active. Galatians chapter 6, 9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, listen to this, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. We're supposed to be, you know, listen, we're supposed to be doing good to bad people, and we're certainly supposed to be doing good to good people. Good people meaning your brothers and sisters. But we're supposed to bless bad people. People that are not seeing the world like we see the world. That's what I mean by bad. You see, you're making a judgment call on somebody. Yes, I am. I said bad. I shouldn't have said bad. The Bible calls them evil. I should have used the word evil. Silly me. We're to bless the evil. Why? Because maybe that it's the goodness of God that will lead a man to repentance. Okay? It's very important. We need to be active as pilgrims. Are you writing these down? Or do you care? Okay, good. Number six. Number six is we need to be communicating. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. We need to be communicating. I'm not saying husbands and wives communicate more. Yes, we all need to do that. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. Wow. Yeah. How many have been married? How many are newlyweds in here? Any newlyweds in here? Yeah. Oh, wow. That's awesome. How many of you have been married a long times in here? Been married a long times. That's encouraging. And you know, 40 years? 40 years or more? Raise your hands. Wow. 50? Wow. Do I dare say, anybody above 50? Wow. Okay, that's amazing. Hands down. Has nothing to do with the message. It was about communication, though. And listen, in every relationship, everybody who raised their hands, from the newlywed to the ones who've been married a long, long time, will tell you the biggest challenge in their relationship is communication. Period. Period. I'm telling you. I think that's what Lisa told me. I'm not sure. Anyway, communication. And here's the deal. This year, Pilgrim, in 2023, we need to be communicating to God like never before. I can almost hear God saying to all of us, talk to me. Say something. How do you feel? What do you think? Yes. He wants to talk. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18, I'll prove it. Rejoice always. That's both internal and external. Rejoice. Wow. Express. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Be in a constant attitude of prayer. Leave the verse on the screen, guys. I heard a poll recently that it was an anonymous poll asked by whoever it was of pastors in America, and they said they pray somewhere around 30 seconds a day. And I read that and I thought immediately, because I know me, I don't know them on paper, right? I immediately had this question. I wish they would have defined that. Did the guy that was asking the question, did he mean, how many times do you get on your knees? Well, that, listen, sometimes I don't get on my knees in a day. So what's he asking? I shudder to think, do you mean you pray 30 seconds in a day? What if one of the pastors would have said, no, I meant, didn't he mean fold your hands and bow your head? Do you see where I'm going with this? If you are going to relegate your communication with God this year to time of knees on ground, which is a good thing, but listen, hands folded like this, nice thing. But looking up, hands lifted, nice thing, but that verse means you need to be in an attitude of prayer. See, what does that mean? See, if I would have answered the poll this way. As far as I know, I never stop praying. Christian, listen. Pilgrim, 2023, there's a high probability, because you may have read some book or been raised a certain way, that unless you are on your knees and bowing your head, that you're not praying. And I want to tell you, that's not true. I would honestly have answered that question by saying, I can't tell you when I stop. It's just ongoing. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How can you give thanks in every situation unless you're living in an attitude of prayer? Meaning, the communication's open constantly. In fact, I submit this. You say, Pastor, I think you're so wrong on that. Well, then what about this one? When the Bible says that we've sinned, we immediately, our fellowship is broken with God. He's not listening. Are you still in the family of God? Oh, yes. But he's not listening. Why? Because sin has broken our communication off with him. And you know it instantly as a Christian. You're just like, we're not doing very well. That's why marriage is a model, by the way, of our relationship with God. If you're rude to your husband or your wife, and then you just tool along like nobody's business, and you forget all that stuff, and then they turn around and they say, hey, you want to take out the trash or mow the lawn? And your attitude is, why don't you do it yourself? Now, you'd never say that, but that's what you think. Why? Communication's broken. Why? Because something happened earlier. God says, I'm not listening. Isaiah 59 says, God's hand is not short that he can't save, neither is his ear deaf that he can't hear. But your sins have separated you from God so that he will not listen to you. He wants confession. We need to communicate. Number 7, we need to be, listen, contending. I like this one. Contending, as in fighting. Pilgrims 2023 would have us in this year be contending. Jude chapter 1 verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you. It's a strong word. He's commanding them. He's saying, hey, everybody stand up, attention. What is it, Jude? I'm going to tell you something. What is it? That you need to contend earnestly for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints. Wow. Christian, this year, you and I are to contend for the faith. That means that when the faith is under attack, we defend it with the Word of God. Listen, I was just asked, right before I came out here, I was asked, and I declined. I was asked by a news media to make a comment on the passing of Pope Benedict. He just died. I don't know if you're aware of that. Yes. Not the current one. Benedict seemed to be a pretty decent dude, and many times he got in a lot of trouble because he told the Catholic Church, all you need is Jesus. And all of a sudden he was retiring all of a sudden. But his last words recorded just a little while ago was this: Jesus, I love you. And he died. Benedict, Pope Benedict, is dead. Well, if he loved Jesus the way the real Jesus is in the Bible, I'm talking about the real Jesus. And if that's true, then like some other popes in history, Pope Benedict is not dead.
That's right, amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're going to have mass for his body, but he's gone. Could you imagine if it's a Nicodemus type of story? If it's true that Benedict meant it, and he meant it from a biblical Jesus, that the Catholic Church, all they need is Jesus. Wow. And in his way, he contended for the faith. If the meaning of the words are biblically accurate, are you with me? Just because somebody says they believe in God doesn't mean it's the right answer. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Which one? Okay. But for those of us who know the truth, we are to contend. We're to get into the ring and fight for what's right. No spectators in Christianity. Number eight. Are we okay? Number eight is be loving. Be loving. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is a very important passage because it's going to increase in this year to come. A friend of mine's church was vandalized Friday night pretty severely in San Diego. Broken windows. Pretty bad stuff. Painted up the building. But we're on a thread together. We're all communicating, and pastors were, this thread is, we're on a group from all around the nation, and we're all encouraging him. And one pastor from Maine said, I'm jealous that such a thing has not yet happened at my church. And I put a little thumbs up on that comment. Think about this. What are you doing? You're asking for a fight? No, I'm not asking for a fight, but Jesus said this. If we're going to love him, we're going to have enemies. Isn't that weird? If we're going to love Jesus, we're going to have enemies. But Jesus says, pray for them. Love them. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun, that is the sun, sunshine, sunrise, to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Can you believe California is getting all this rain? Up and down the state? It's amazing. Do we deserve it?
No.
No. Is God good anyway?
Yes.
Yep. Number nine, be true. Be true. Be true. 1 John chapter 1, be true. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that's God, and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Boy, isn't that true? When you're walking with God, you get along with other Christians. When you're not walking with God, you do not want to see another Christian on the planet. Have you noticed that? When a Christian backslides, the last person they want to be around is another Christian. Why? Because they know they're going to call me out. Why? Because we have photometers in our faces. We see your light go dim. It's like, are you all right? Why do you ask? Just asking. You just kind of look a little dim there. Have you noticed Christians know that about other Christians? When a Christian is not walking with God anymore, you can't tell. You can't tell, but we can tell.
Yes.
I said, psst, see his light's out. Don't you think his light's out? Look at him. I mean, he's over there. He's just kind of like, I got a little candle instead of a floodlight. God wants us beaming for Jesus. And he went on. He goes on. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. None of us are perfect. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Somebody say amen. That's awesome. Woo! That's called revival. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and his word's not in us. I love how practical this is. Anybody says they're perfect and they're doing really amazing? Oh, you're so messed up. You're sinning. You need God's grace every day like the rest of us. The difference is, listen, you've got two sinners. Watch this. Two sinners. Let's give them this. Both of them born again. Both of them's got their names written down in heaven. But one is not walking in the light and says he's fine. The other one is walking in the light and knows that he's not fine. Did you hear what I just said? Did you get that one? When you're not with him, you think you're great. When you're with him, you don't think so great.
That's right.
Being close to him, he's the one that sucks up all the light. He's the one that's shining. I mean, we're like this, and then we get next to him, and we look like a black cloth. But in this world, you know, we look like something. Next to some mugger or thief, I look like a saint. Next to Jesus, oh God, shed thy grace upon me. Number 10 is be faithful. Be faithful, pilgrim, in 2023. Book of Revelation. Now listen, I know this. I got to preface it. I'm going to give you this verse. Right now, at this moment, in the United States, it doesn't yet apply. But in many nations, today, this Sunday, I'm going to give this verse. And there are people who watch this program all around the world. And they are going to say, oh, I needed that. Because that's what I'm going through. Listen, we sit here in the comfort of Southern California in this place, but some of these messages are being bootlegged into communist North Korea. And when they hear this verse, for them, it's more important than food. And here it comes. Be faithful, pilgrim. In Revelation 20, verse 10, Jesus says, do not fear any of those things which are about which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Wow. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful. Listen to the believers in Iran. Be faithful, even unto death. China, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. Think of it. The believers that meet in secret in areas of Qatar or Saudi Arabia, you name it. What about those in North Africa that Christianity gathering on a Sunday morning that if they can, and they have recently, catch you inside the church, they board the door shut or they park a bulldozer in front of the door. They block the windows and they burn the church down with the Christians on the inside. Did you know that's happening in the 21st century in North Africa? And what does Jesus say to them? Be faithful unto death. It doesn't have to apply to persecution. The moment that death might come to me or to you, don't you want to be faithful unto death? Don't you want to go out in such a way that you inspire your children and grandchildren and your husband, your wife, your brothers, your sisters? Man, if I'm dying, if I have the opportunity like that, I want to be able to say, do you see him? Can you hear him? Here he comes. Freak them all out. Wouldn't that be awesome? I've asked God to do that in my life. Lord, if I'm going to go out, let's just make people around want to like, can I come? Be faithful unto death. 11, be cooperating. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 8 says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I, Isaiah is the I, said, here I am, send me. Isn't that awesome? Christian, listen, here's what I really want to do. I mean, if I was really feeling feisty, I'd have you raise your right hand and I'd have you say, Lord, here I am, send me. Okay, raise your right hand. Let's just say this. Dear Lord,
here I am.
Send me.
Send me.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, Isaiah saw the glory of God, and that's all that he could respond to doing. It was, oh, God's amazing. Whatever you want to do, God, I'm in. Yes. Cooperate with him. 12, be still. Say, Jack, are you serious? You're going through all this hyperactive stuff, and then you say, be still? Yeah, be still. Isaiah chapter 40, there's a lot of great verses on this. One of them, of course, is, I think it's Psalm 46:10, right? Is that the one? Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted in all of the earth. Be still, that word, be still and know, the word is yada. Be still and discover in the situation you're in, I'm God. But that's not the verse we're in. We're in Isaiah 40, verse 30, and be still, even the youth shall faint and be weary. I love this. The older I get, I love this verse. Young people, they're going to pass out. Young men shall utterly fail. What is he saying to us? He's telling us that success is not based upon vitality, youth, or energy. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. But in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Be still. Being still before the Lord is where all vitality, all, what's the word? Verve. Or you've heard the word revive. Drop the R-E. Vive. Revive. Vive is life. Revive is re-life. In other words, I was alive once and then I got away from living. I need to be revived to life. You can't be revived unless you had vive.
Right.
It's like that kid that said, Mama, Mama. She said, what is it? He goes, I want lasses. And she said, what? He says, I want lasses on my pancakes. Lasses. Honey, you mean syrup. He goes, no, I mean lasses. She goes, honey, you mean molasses? And he says, well, how can I have molasses when I've only haven't even had lasses yet? Isn't that great? I don't tell jokes, and you see the reason why. Number 13 is be less. Listen, there's liberty in this. Be less. Be less of yourself. Be less of your strength. Be less of your agenda. Be less of you. Believe me, there's freedom in this. You don't have to be like C.S. Lewis says, do you have to be the big noise at the party? Watch out for people who have to be the big noise. You know the attention grabbers? The person that's always has to have the crowd around them. That's a rough way to live. Be less. There's freedom in this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, the Bible says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. God is speaking to Paul. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly will I rather, listen, boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in needs and persecutions and distresses. Isn't this amazing? How do you stop a guy like this? Hey, Paul, you know what? They're distressing us over here. They're being mean to us. Paul says, where is this happening? I can't wait to get there. Wow. He says, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Love that. 14, number 14, Pilgrim for 2023, be more. You're to be less and more. Less of the flesh, more of the spirit in our lives. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Christians, are you awake?
Yes.
The Bible says there's a power at work within us, and that power is the Holy Spirit's power. And God is telling you, you ought to get excited. Verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. We need to expect God to do more in our lives. The more he has us, the less we become, the more joyful life is. Number 15, be done. Be done. be done. The pilgrims of old, they were done with the liturgical religion of death. They were done with it. They wiped their hands clean of it. All they wanted was Jesus. They were done with the world. Listen to this. This is a heavy verse. In fact, my friend's church being attacked inspired me to use this verse before us this morning. It's a verse I sent him the other day. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, starting there. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or of this world, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. This is demonic activity. We don't fight demonic activity with guns and bullets and bombs and tanks. It's impossible. It's ridiculous. Do you understand that if a nuclear bomb went off right here, right now, it would not change the spiritual realm whatsoever? It's a different universe. So we don't use carnal weaponry to fight the fight that we're in. Number five, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Think of that. We need Bible doctrine to be able to do that. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Do you have bad thoughts? Do your thoughts wander? Am I the only one? Listen, this is a verse of my life, pal. I learned from the first day of kindergarten that I had a problem. And that is, I thought nothing was happening in the class. Everything was happening outside the class. They should never build classrooms with windows. Back in the ancient times, our classrooms were full of windows, and that's where I was at, outside. Outside in spirit. Thoughts. What comes in your mind? If it's not right, say, Lord, that's a horrible thought. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, take control of this, Lord. I'm bringing it based on this passage of scripture. I am hanging on to this promise now, dear God, and I'm throwing this over to you to take it full captive, God, because it ain't good. That's not a good one. And I'm going to contend. I'm going to fight. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bring it to your obedience. Verse 6, here it is. And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Listen, you're not going to like to discover what verse 6 means. It means when you obey God, when something is offensive to God, that thing is to be dealt with. We don't do this anymore because the church is dead in the world. You know who loved this verse? Study them. I don't have time to get into them now. Some guy by the name of Oliver Cromwell. Read about Oliver Cromwell. When he looked around at the organized church in England and he said, you guys are nothing but a bunch of crooks. You're robbing people and manipulating people. You're stealing from everybody. And in fact, we're going to write up a document. We're going to call it the Magna Carta. And you're going to sign it. No, I'm not. The king said, oh, yeah, you are. You remember King so-and-so? Yes. Well, he's dead, isn't he? Yes. Sign the Magna Carta. Oliver Cromwell and others who took the word of God seriously, they held their officials accountable to bow to Jesus. Think of that. You say, that's so, I never heard that before. Well, you should read more of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams. Yes. So what does this mean? That when somebody does wickedness, it is the church that's to lead the way and standing for what is right against the wickedness. In our community, the other day, I say our community, in our Southland here, as sheriff's deputy was murdered, listen, hear me out. If a judge releases someone who they know to be dangerous with a past record of violence, if a judge releases that individual, I believe that judge should be responsible. They should even have to sign a document saying, I'm responsible for the conduct of the person I'm letting go. Think about it. This is what I'm right now fulfilling verse 6, literally in front of you. And I'm not asking you to agree. It's irrelevant if you agree or not. Righteousness says, wait, you knew that man was a killer?
Yes.
And violent? Yes, I did. and you release them, and he drives down the street and kills a police officer? Yes, I released him. You're going to jail for the rest of your life. That is right. That is good. That is justice. The authority lets someone loose to kill an innocent individual. The authority should be held accountable, thus they're in the place of authority. Are you hearing me? Our world knows nothing about justice. People talk about justice. They don't even know what they're talking about. God's word says, stand up for what's right, and when evil happens, bring what's right against it. And that judge should be in jail today, right now. I have to end. Where am I? What was I? Oh, we'll end. We'll make it. Number 16, be holy. Pilgrim, be holy. The Puritans, the separatists, the pilgrims, they understood holiness. Listen, you might be surprised to find out. They didn't think they were holy because they wore funny clothes. They didn't think they were holy because they read their Bible a lot. They didn't think they were holy for any external reason. Did you know that? Well, let's go to church. Come on, put your nice dress on. I'm not knocking. I mean, we should look nice for church. That's fine. But if you think that you're accepted by God because you bought an Armani suit and the guy next to you bought his from Kmart? Walmart! Well, I'm more holy than he is. I have an Armani and he's got a Walmart. No. Mm-mm. No, listen, holiness is this. I've decided to dedicate my life to God. The pilgrim, that's what we are. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5 says, Isaiah speaking, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He must have lived in California at some point in time, like everybody else. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. This is before God in heaven. In Isaiah's vision, this is what he sees. And he touched my mouth with it. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. God does that. God says that. To you and I. 17, be wise. Pilgrim, be wise. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Is that beautiful? Be wise, pilgrim, in 2023. 18, be prepared. Be prepared. Matthew 25, we're almost done. It's not going to feel like it, but we're almost done. Matthew 25, 1. Then the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps with no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels or spare containers with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom's coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins, 10 of them in total, arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, nope, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. In other words, you should have been responsible. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Be prepared. 19. Be walking. Be walking. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You understand that?
Yes.
No condemnation, no judgment to the follower of Christ. Wow. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Do you want God? Do you want to walk with God? God says there's no condemnation. And 20. Let's all stand for 20 because it'll look good. 20. We end with this. Pilgrim, for 2023, be Jesus. Be Jesus in this world. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." That's the first account, by the way, in the entire Bible, first time ever, the born-again experience was had in John chapter 20. I wrote myself this note, friend. Maybe it applies to you. Our hope rests in God. There's no pilgrim Mayflower for us this time around. No matter what happens in our nation, there's no pilgrim Mayflower ship coming for us. You understand that? That's okay. God knows. Jesus Christ, though, is coming. And that's what we need to remember. So, church, I want to pray. Father, I ask you to bless this body of believers. I pray, Father, as they stand, Lord, you have called me to pastor this precious, amazing church. I'm so happy to be here. Lord, you've called us to be a family. And so I, Lord, in this place, in this calling, I dedicate these that are standing here right now to you. And those that are viewing, those that are afar. I ask you, Lord, that you would cause them to receive the empowerment of the Holy Spirit upon their lives. I pray, Father, that you would speak to them every day of this year with the Great Commission. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit, no human effort at all, but by your Holy Spirit, you would send them out of these doors to a world around them that's in need of you. Father, we give you this year. We praise you. We commit it all to you now. We pray it in the awesome and precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you.